Yeah, got it.
Yep.
All right. Praise God. Get up to preach and everybody leaves. That's a par for the course here. All right. Aren't you glad that you're an American? Amen. I thank God for our great country and the God that we serve. Amen. Last time I looked, In God We Trust is still on our money. Whether we believe it or not, I believe it. Amen. I'm just going to trust God. So it's good to be here at Florence Baptist Church in Florence, Arizona. I used to live in Florence about a month ago, and we moved to Mesa, but I still love Florence, and thank God that I have the opportunity to come and preach to you folks this morning. So if you have your Bible, take your Bible and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 8. Luke chapter number 9. We're going to read one verse in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then we're going to skip down to the end of the chapter. I want to talk to you about a subject you don't hear a lot about nowadays, at least in some churches, and that's the subject of discipleship. Discipleship, being a disciple of Jesus Christ. The word disciple has various meanings. It basically means a follower. If you're a disciple of somebody, you're a follower of that person. Or a learner, you learn something, you're a disciple. The word disciple, discipline, means to teach. And so you're following somebody's teachings, so to speak. And so I want to talk to you about how people respond to discipleship, specifically to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Okay? So we're going to look at that. And first of all, I want you to look at a verse in Luke chapter 9, verse number 23. We're going to kind of use that verse as a springboard. And then we're going to get to the end of the chapter where he's going to give various ways people respond to discipleship. So verse number 23, a very familiar passage to most of you. Jesus is speaking here, and it says, "And he said unto them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." I want to read that verse one more time. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. "And he said unto them all, if, which implies not everybody does, if any man come after me," I want you to underline the word after. "Come after me, let him deny," being a disciple of Jesus Christ, calls for some denial, self-denial, "deny himself and take up his cross daily." It's a daily thing. It's not something you do just one time. It's a every day there's a cross to bear. Take up his cross daily and follow me. As we said, a disciple is a follower of somebody. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Father, we're grateful just to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to preach and teach your word, to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom we're supposed to follow. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless this church and all that it does here in the city of Florence. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You don't want to confuse salvation with discipleship. There's a distinction between the two. That is, there are some people that are Christians, but they are not disciples. So discipleship is something you do after you get saved. So if you're not saved here this morning, the first thing you need to do is come to Christ. And then once you come to Christ for salvation, then you come after Christ in discipleship. So there is a call to salvation. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So you come to Christ to get saved. Amen. But then once you've come to Christ to be saved, now the call is to come after me. Come to me and then come after me. If any man come after me, in other words, to be a follower, he's got to be up front. And you are following behind. You come after him. So there is a coming after Christ for discipleship. So don't confuse the two. What I'm going to talk to you this morning about is discipleship, not salvation. So let me clear the air real quick right here. If you're not saved, if you don't know where you're going when you die, you need to get saved today. Amen. You need to get saved. You need to come to Christ. Don't come to church. Don't come to a preacher. Don't come to a pope. You come to Christ. Because only he can give you salvation. Only he can forgive your sins. Amen. So you come to Christ and say, Jesus, I'm lost. I need salvation. And I trust you as my Savior. And he'll save you right there. Amen. Then you come after him. See, getting saved is easy. No problem getting saved. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's just a matter of believing on him. Amen? So you believe on Christ for salvation. Then you deny yourself and you take up your cross and you follow Christ in discipleship afterwards. So I want you to skip down now to verse number 57, the end of the chapter. And he's going to give you three various responses to how people responded to his call to follow him and be his disciple. And I want us to read these verses, and I'm going to go back and comment on them. So verse number 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said, Lord, I will what? Follow. Okay, I'm going to be your disciple. Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Verse 58. And Jesus said unto him, well, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Verse 59. And he said to another, this is the second guy, he said to another, what? So there's that word follow, be a disciple, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. So there's the second guy. Now there's a third one here, verse number 61. And another also said, Lord, I will what? So all three of these guys said, I'm going to follow. I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So you have three men, and all three say, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow. But you know what? By the time the chapter is over, none of them are following. All three of them bail out. All of them said, no, nothing to it. See, the first man, by the way, if you have your Bible, you might mark in your Bible, verse 57, just put number one, the first man. Next to verse 59, write number two, he's the second man. And next to verse 61, you have the third man. So you got three men here. Now, the first man, he was too swift. The second man, he was too slow. And the third man was too soft. The first man, he's warm-hearted. The second man, he's cold-hearted. And the third man, he's half-hearted. The first man, he is unprepared. The second man is unwilling. And the third man was unfit. The first man, he's concerned about a bed where he's going to sleep at night. The second man was concerned about a burial. Let me go and bury my father. And the third man is concerned about bidding somebody farewell. So all three men are called to be disciples. And all three men bail out before they actually follow the Lord. Now, I assume, I already said, if you're not saved here this morning, you need to get saved. But I assume that most of you people are here and you're saved. You've trusted the Lord. You've come to Christ for salvation. Now, the call to every one of us here, including this preacher, is to be his disciple. And we might find ourselves in one of these three categories. Hopefully, you're not in any of those three. You're following the Lord faithfully. You've taken up your cross, and you do it every day, and you're following Christ faithfully. Hopefully, that's the case. But I'm not going to assume anything here. So let's talk about these three responses, these three men, and how they responded. And you might, if you're marking in your Bible, number one is in verse number 57 and 58. This man is impulsive. He gives you the impulsive response. He bases his decision based solely on emotion. He's worked up. And by the way, you know, I'm not a preacher that kind of works a congregation up into emotions. I don't want you to make an emotional decision. I want you to make a decision by faith, trusting Christ. Amen. Whether you feel like it or not. I like emotions. Amen. I do. I really like emotions. But emotions will not save you. So this man is kind of making the decision to follow Christ on an emotional basis. I mean, look back at verse number 57. It says, it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I mean, he makes a great overture here. He says, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Now, if I would have been there that day, I would have said, hey, man, there's a guy that wants to follow Jesus. Amen. They're not all dead. Here's one guy that's going to follow Jesus wherever he goes. I'd be applauding. I'd be patting the guy on the back. Man, you've made the best decision you could ever make. Not Jesus. You don't see Jesus applauding. You don't see Jesus saying, hip, hip, hooray for this guy. No, what does he say? He says, well, before you say you're going to follow me, you need to understand that the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You need to understand, if you're going to follow me, there is a cost. It might cost you something. Because I'm not going to be spending the night at the Jerusalem Ramada Inn or the Jerusalem Hilton. No, the foxes have a better place to sleep than I do. The birds have a better place than I do. I don't even know where I'm going to sleep tonight. So before you say you're going to follow me, you need to know up front that you don't know where you're going to sleep. He wanted him to know that there is a cost to being his disciple. Now, thank God there is no cost to getting saved. Jesus paid the cost. He paid it all, amen, on Calvary. He already paid the price for my salvation. But to follow him after Christ, there may be a cost involved. There will be a cost involved in following Jesus Christ. Getting saved is easy. You just trust Christ as your Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. But following Christ as a disciple will cost you something. There's no such thing as instant discipleship. Amen. A couple of preachers, Grady Lemons and Talbot Moore. I have lost track of them now, but they may be in heaven as far enough. But Grady Lemons and Talbot Moore were great preachers, mainly down in the area of Georgia, the great state of Georgia. But when they were kids, they palled together and they were buddies. And as teenagers, they would like to get in this hay wagon. Had no horses on, just a wagon. And they had a hill by their farm, and they would get on the hay wagon, and they roll the hay wagon down the hill, and they just have a good time riding the wagon down the hill. And at the bottom of the hill, there was a little valley there, and there was a briar patch. So a bunch of Talbot Moore and Grady Lemon's buddies got together. They wanted to ride the wagon down the hill. And they all got on, and they pushed the wagon down. They were going down, and boy, they were picking up speed. They're going down, 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 and down. All of a sudden, they saw that briar patch up ahead. And a bunch of these guys started jumping off like fleas off a dead dog. They were jumping off the wagon. And the only two guys left on the wagon when it hit the briar patch was Talbert Moore and Grady Lemons. And they went through that briar patch. They came out the other end. They were all got thorns in them and everything, and they're picking their thorns out. And Grady Lemons turned over to Talbert Moore and he said, "Tall, you sure do find who wants to ride the wagon when you hit the briar patch, don't you? And you sure do find out who wants to be a disciple when the times get tough, when the times get hard, when you have to start pulling the thorns out of your body." Amen. But that there is a cost involved in discipleship. There's a price to be paid. So, I mean, he's gone. I mean, after verse 58, you don't see him anymore. He changed his mind. He said, "You know what? I got a nice house. I got a nice bed to sleep in. You know what? I think I'm just going to back off." You don't see him again. He's obscure. He's changed his mind because he was not willing to pay the price to be a disciple. The price was too high to be that. There's a magazine I used to get. Since we moved, I don't get it anymore, but it's called The Week. Basically, it takes the events of 1 week and compiles them into this one magazine, all the main events, sporting events. It's not like Newsweek, but it's kind of like that. And it was a news magazine, and it would come out every week, so it was called The Week. Well, back several years ago, I was reading a story in there that fascinated me. It was about a guy that delivered pizza. He was a pizza delivery boy, and he lived in Tampa, Florida. And while he was out delivering pizzas one night, he got shot in the leg by a would-be mugger. So you know what? He had 4 pizzas to deliver. So instead of going to the hospital to get the wound treated, he went on and delivered all 4 pizzas. And then after he delivered the 4 pizzas, then he went to the hospital to get the gunshot wound treated. I thought, if a guy will do that to deliver pizzas, even though he's shot in the leg by a mugger, and he'll go on and deliver 4 pizzas bleeding, why can't we be that dedicated in delivering the gospel, which is much better than pizza, amen? But we get the slightest thing will discourage us, and we'll say, "No, I'm not going to do it anymore." Get a few doors slammed in your face, "I'm not going to do it anymore." Get cussed out a few times, "I'm not going to do it anymore." No, dear friend, listen, if a pizza guy can deliver pizzas with a gunshot wound in his leg, you can deliver the word of God to those in need. Amen. There's a price. There might be a price to pay. So the first guy, he is impulsive. He makes a decision based on emotion. I don't want you to make that kind of decision. I don't want your decision to be based on emotions. I'm not trying to work up your emotions. I'm trying to say, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's going to have to come from your head by faith. Amen. Think it out. You might not, if God's calling you to be a disciple, you might have to leave your comfortable bed. Missionaries do it all the time. They go to some third world country, they don't even know where they're going to sleep at night. But they go because God calls them. Amen? All right, so that's the first guy. He is the impulsive guy. Now, number two, the second guy is in verse number 59 and 60. And we're going to call this guy the insincere response. The first one is an impulsive response. The next guy is insincere. Let's read these verses again, 59. He came and he said to another. The first guy is gone. He said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." He's insincere. That is, Jesus makes the demand. He says, "Okay, follow. You're going to be my disciple. Follow me right now. Follow me." That's the demand for discipleship. Follow me. That is, you put your foot down right after where I put my foot. 1, 2, follow. Ever play follow the leader? That's basically what he's doing. You do follow me. Follow me. He's making a demand. But this guy, he delays. He puts it off. He he's not quite ready to be a disciple. He says, well, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, the truth is, his father was not dead yet. Amen. Dead people don't bury dead people. Amen. It doesn't happen. I heard this story. It's kind of a funny story about this drunk. He's taking a shortcut to the graveyard late at night. And there was an open grave. They were going to have a funeral the next day. And so they had an open grave, didn't put the body in yet. And this drunk, he's going to the graveyard, and he falls into this open grave about 6 feet down, falls down into it. And he's trying to get up and claw himself up. He just can't get out of that thing. He's in such a drunken stupor. So he says, well, I'm just going to curl up into over on the corner of this grave, and I'll wait till the morning. Somebody will come and pull me out. So he goes to sleep in this grave. He's sleeping. A second drunk, going to the same graveyard, falls into the same hole. And he's trying to get up, just like the first guy's trying to get up. And the guy in the corner, he's sleeping away. He wakes up, and he sees this guy trying to get out. And he says, you can't get out of here. But he did. One jump. He's out, man. He's gone. Amen. Dead people just don't bury dead people. So when he said, verse number 60, let the dead bury their dead, what he was saying is if you're going to be my disciple, you're alive. So let the dead people take care of the dead business of the world. Let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead, those that are lost, by the Bible says, if you're lost, you're dead in trespasses and sin. Let the dead take care of the dead works of this world. But you who are alive, you take care of the living things. The things that tend to spiritual life, amen. Go and preach the kingdom of God. That's a living thing. Go and preach the kingdom. Go and preach. So let those that are spiritually dead tend to the dead stuff of this world. But you who are alive, you need to move on to the things that are living, amen. So he makes excuses. He kind of puts it off. I like verse 59. Look at verse 59 again. He says, he said to another, follow me. But he said, the guy he's talking to, Lord, suffer. What's the next two words? Say it loud. Me first. Me first. In discipleship, it's Jesus first. Not me first. There's no me first in discipleship. When Jesus says, you follow me, then you put you put me on the second burner. Amen. It has nothing to do with you. And so some people think, well, you know, it's got to be me first. That's the average American. It's me first. It's me first. That's the average American. No, it's Jesus first. So in discipleship, you put Jesus as Lord. Amen. You put everything else behind. Everything else goes on the back burner. I like Peter. I can relate. I can't relate too well to Paul. He's too high up. But I can relate to Peter pretty well. He and I get along pretty good. One time, this was in Acts chapter 10. Jesus gives Peter a vision. He lowers a sheet from heaven full of all kinds of animals, unclean animals. And he says, rise, Peter! Kill and eat. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. That's in Acts 10, verse 13, I think it is. And the next verse, verse 14, says, Peter says, not so, Lord. Oh, wait a minute. Is he Lord? Well, if he is Lord, you don't say not so. You can't say not so and Lord in the same breath. If he is Lord, you say, yes, sir. If he's not Lord, then you say, not so. You can't say them both. Amen? And don't go around here saying Jesus is Lord, but make excuses on why you can't follow him as Lord. It's either yes, Lord, or no, Lord. But if it's no, it can't be Lord. Amen? So what Jesus is saying, you got to make up your mind. Are you going to serve me or not? None of this insincere business. So the first guy, he is impulsive. He makes a decision based on emotion. Second guy, he is really not sincere at all because, you know, he makes excuses. I'm going to come first, me first. Now let's look at this last guy. Guy number three, and he's in verse number 61 and 62. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but, oops, where'd this but come from? If you're going to follow the Lord, there is no buts. Amen. Billy Goat's butt, but not you. Lord, I will follow thee, but let me, oh, what's those two words? Let me first. Well, he's got that problem. He's got a butt problem. He's got a me first problem. Lord, I will suffer thee, but let me first go bid them farewell. We're at home at my house. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit. See the word fit? Is fit for the kingdom of God. You can't be my disciple. So the third guy is indecisive. He is an indecisive. First one is impulsive. Second one is insincere. Third one is indecisive. That is, he has a good resolve. His resolve is, Lord, I will follow thee. I will follow thee. But then you see his resolve begin to dissolve because he began to amend his resolve with a little three-letter word, but. But. There is no such thing as but in discipleship. There is no such thing as being sort of a disciple. You either are a disciple or you're not. You're either committed or you're not committed. From what I've heard is when a plane taxis down the runway ready to take off, it's going down that runway, and I've been on lots of flights and you know, you get on that part where the plane accelerates down the runway and you feel it and you're going, you know. And then there's a certain point where the front end goes up and it takes off. It leaves the ground. It gets off the runway, leaves it down. And that point, there's a point on that runway, it's called the point of no return. That is, that pilot has to decide either he's going to stop the plane or he's going to take off. Because if you go past that one point, you're going to crash. Yeah, you're committed. Amen. So that point of commitment, and that's what I see a lot of Christians, they're taxiing up and down the runway, but they never get off the ground. They never get off the ground in discipleship. They never get airborne. They're still going up and down the runway. Dear friend, you got to get to that point where you say, all right, I'm going to be committed. I'm going to take off. I'm going to fly. Amen. And so here he goes. He pulls back and he flies. And so this guy, he's not that way. He's not ready to make that commitment. He says, well, I'm going to follow you, but, Lord, suffer me first. I got to do something first before I follow you. Suffer me first to go home to my house and bid my parents farewell. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying goodbye to your parents. Nothing wrong. Jesus isn't rebuking that. Jesus was smart. Jesus knew if this guy went home to tell his mom and dad, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to go wherever he goes. The parents would try to talk him out of it. So he wanted to avoid it. He said, no. No man having put his hand on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I remember one of our missions conference we had in our church. We had a family come and surrender to go to the mission field. And they're ready to go to the mission field. And they're going to go. About 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from the parents of this couple. The parents. And they said, Pastor Hughes? And I said, yes. And they said, it was the parents of the wife. We heard that our son-in-law and our daughter is going to go on the mission field. Yeah, that's right. They surrendered to go to the mission. Well, you know, we want you to talk them out of it. What? Well, we try to talk them out of it, and they won't listen to us, so we felt that you being their pastor, you'd be able to tell them that maybe they shouldn't go to the mission. I said, are you kidding me? You want me to tell them not to go, not to follow through? I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. By the way, this family went on. They went to the mission, and they're still on the mission field today. Amen. Doing a great job. Doing a great job. So, you know, that's what Jesus was saying here. He says, no, I don't want you to go home and bid your parents farewell, because all they're going to try to, your mother's going to pour on the tears. Oh, you can't go and follow Jesus. I'll never see you again. Jesus realized, you don't go home. Bid them farewell, but bid them farewell from a distance. You're going. You're going. You're going. So there has to be no looking back. There's no, like, Lot's wife. You don't look back. I love that song. I don't know if you sing it here. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Jesus before me, the cross before me, the world behind me. There needs to be that kind of commitment. Amen. You put the world behind you and you go forward for Jesus Christ. We had another guy in our church. His name was Ron Cole. Ron Cole, he surrendered to go to the mission field, third world country. He was going to the mission field. But before he left, this would be even before the mission conference, he came to me one day, and he was a student in our Bible Institute. We had a Bible Institute in our church called Puget Sound Bible Institute, and he was studying for the ministry, doing a great job. But he also worked at Puget Sound Naval Shipyard, and that was a very demanding job. And so one day I get a knock on my office, and Ron comes in. And Ron is down, he's shaking his head, and he said, Pastor, I'm going to have to quit the Bible Institute. I said, what? I'm going to have to quit the Bible Institute. And I said, Ron, why are you telling me? Well, I said, you didn't promise me you'd be a preacher. You didn't promise me you go to Bible. Who'd you promise? Who'd you make that promise to? Well, I promised to God that I'd be a preacher and I'd study for the ministry. Well, then you need to go to God and tell God you're going to quit. So I got on my knees right there in my office. I said, now, come on, Ron. Let's get on your knees. Come on, kneel with me and let's tell God you're going to quit. He looked at me and he kind of had a dumb look. I said, come on, Ron. Come on, I'll hold your hand. Come on down. I tug on his hand, pull him down. He would not. And he said, Pastor, I can't do that. I said, why not? He said, because I promised God that I would be a preacher. And he went on. He finished the Bible Institute, graduated, and he went to the mission field, served on the mission for 10, 12 years in a third world country. His health failed. He had to come back home, but even there, he did not quit. Today, he is pastoring in Shelton, Washington, the Grace Baptist Church in Shelton, Washington. He's still pastoring. He would not quit. Why? Because he made a promise to God. There's no turning back. No turning back. Health, no turning back. And you need to get that same attitude that when God calls me to do something, I'm going to do it, and there's no turning back till the job's done. Amen? Amen. There's no indecision. There's no impulse. There's a definite calling, follow me. Are you going to follow Jesus? If you're not saved, you need to just come to Christ and get saved. But if you are saved, you need to make a commitment. I'm going to follow the Lord whithersoever he leads. If he leads me to the mission field, I'm going to the mission field. If he leads me to be a preacher, if he leads me to be a Sunday school teacher, whatever God is leading me to do, I am going to do. I am going to make that commitment. I'm going to get off the ground. I'm going to quit taxiing down the runway. And I'm going to get airborne for Jesus. And I'm going to follow him. That's discipleship. Father, thank you for the call to discipleship. Thank you, Lord, that you not only want us to get saved, but after we're saved, you want us to be your disciples. And Lord, I see a lot of Christians. But Lord, what I long to see is some disciples. Some people that are going to follow you no matter what comes, no matter what happens. They're going to follow you and be your disciple. So, Lord, I pray that here at Florence Baptist Church, the Christians that are here will make that commitment to follow you no matter what. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to just pray for a few moments. I want to, first of all, ask this question. How many of you here this morning know without a doubt that if you died right now, you would go to heaven? You've come to Christ for salvation. You know that without a raise your hand. Let me see that. I know I'm saved. All right, thank you. You may put your hands down. And maybe you could not lift your hand right then because you're not sure you're really saved. You're not sure you've come to Christ for salvation. Well, you need to come to Christ today. Is there one right now would raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I need to come to Christ for salvation. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Would you put your hand up and let me pray for you? Is there anyone like that here this morning? God bless you, sir. Amen. You may put your hand down. Anyone else? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Okay, I'm going to pray for this one in just a moment. Let me ask a third question. This is everyone that knows you're saved. Are you a disciple? Are you following the Lord? Or are you letting other things, are you putting me first instead of Jesus first? Does anyone say, Pastor, God spoke to me in this message and I realize I need to put the world behind me and look everything behind me and I need to put Christ in front of me and I'm going to follow him wherever he leads me. God spoke to me. Pray for me. Is anyone like that? God bless you. 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 Amen. All right, I'm going to pray in just a moment. First of all, that one gentleman that raised your hand for salvation, will you look at me? Okay. I'm going to say a short prayer out loud. I want you to pray it in your heart. Don't pray it out loud. Pray it in your heart. If you really want to get saved, pray with me, okay? Dear Lord, I know I've sinned, but I believe Jesus died for my sins. And I trust you now as I sit here as my Lord and my Savior. I open my heart and receive you now to save my soul. And I believe that you will. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, sir, would you raise your hand right now? God bless you, sir. Amen. Thank God for that one. And some of you others, maybe you need to make a decision for the Lord. We're going to stand and we're going to have an invitation. I just want to have maybe Carol play something softly on the piano as you stand to your feet. Let's stand right now. She's going to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If you need to come down to this altar and make a decision for the Lord, why don't you come on down right now? I'm not asking for emotion decision. I want you to know what you're doing. You come forward right now. Say, yes, Lord, I'm going to be your disciple. I'm a Christian, but I want to be your disciple. I'm going to follow you. If you want to come right now, come on. Amen. This piano plays soft. No one looking around. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Yes, amen. Amen. Surrender, right? I'm going to just pray right now. Some people are coming right now. Maybe you need to join them. We're just going to tarry for a minute or two. Amen. Father, we thank you for these that have come this morning, especially for this one that prayed to receive Christ as their Savior. bless him, Lord, and protect him, Lord, and help him just to follow you. And I thank you for these others that come to this altar to kneel to present themselves for discipleship. I pray, Lord, that you won't let the devil get them sidetracked or turned away, Lord, but they would just follow you no matter where you lead them. We just give you thanks and praise for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, brother, you can take. I know how you close the service, so it's up to you.
God bless you, sir. If y'all turn in your hymn books to hymn number 167. Do verses 1, 2, and 4. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Verse 2. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Verse 5. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer for dismissal. Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the message in the Sunday school. And thank you for the one saved and the two that have decided to serve you better, Lord. And as we all should every day pick up our cross and serve you the way that you're calling us to serve you, Father. Help us to go out now and be the salt and the light of the earth and shine for you, Jesus. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen. You are dismissed.